Good evening. This is the Saturday evening Bible study. I'm Johnny Coffey. This is Harmony Baptist Church. Today we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised thereby. Today, I want to talk about God's discipline, God's disciplinary action for his children. I want you to notice the first thing is no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. The first thing about chastening or discipline, God spanks us, so to speak, is this is more of a you know, when you get out of line, you know, we all fall into temptation. We all fall into sin. And I'm talking about born-again believers. Lost people are in sin, okay? But we fall into sin and we disobey the Lord, okay? And understand something. Anytime that we sin, it's a willful sin. It's willful. We willfully sin. And as children, we don't have to willfully sin. We have the Holy Spirit. If we obey the Spirit, then we obey God. It doesn't mean we're sinless because we have a sin nature. But we can, the Christian life is about grace and about following the Lord. You know, abiding in Christ. Read his word. Pray. If he tells you to do something, do it. If he tells you don't do something, don't do it. It's very simple, okay? And there's some things that, you know, the Bible's very hardcore. It tells you do this, don't do that. Don't steal, give. Don't lie, tell the truth. There's always a negative and a plus, right? And you know, I think as a Christian, if we would just get those basics down of everything that's point blank in the Bible, okay, and I'm going to bring this up before we get into the chastening part. If we would follow the things we know 100% across the board, we know don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. You know what I'm saying? If we could get these things down, you know, give by grace, okay? You know, come to church, whatever. Whatever it is that you know you're supposed to do, do these things. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Get to know God. Have a relationship. The whole thing, what we said, the main thing, love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I keep pressing this because it's the foundation of Christianity. Your relationship with God the Father is the first thing. Everything else is built on that. Everything you'll ever do in your Christian life is built on that. This chastening is when you, what does the Bible say? Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when we don't keep his commandments, it's because we don't love him. Okay? When we sin willfully. And in that moment, we're choosing to love something else. We're choosing to love our sin more than we love our Savior. Okay? That's what's happening. It's not an accident. We're choosing to love sin more than the Savior. And God loves us, and he's like, he knows it's going to ruin our life and it's going to destroy us. So he says, he brings chastening. Okay? And it says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It grieves us when we're spanked, right? It grieves us. Maybe God will, at first he'll start with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and then when we ignore that, he'll bring some kind of heartache, tragedy, you know? He does everything. You know, he'll bring preaching. You'll read a sermon. A pastor will preach a sermon on your sin. He will speak a sermon on your sin. Somebody will throw a post on Facebook. It'll be about your sin. Whatever it is. Somebody will say something and it'll have to do with your sin. You'll be watching television. You wouldn't believe, you know. You'll be watching TV, maybe a movie. You know, and it'll talk about your sin. Many ways to get your attention. And then if you ignore that, he'll start trying to break you to get your, like a shepherd does his sheep. He breaks. Sheep wanders off where he shouldn't be. Shepherd breaks his leg, mends it, and then carries him around so the sheep knows to trust the shepherd, right? That's what this is. Now, the present, it doesn't seem to be joyous, but grievous, and it grieves us, right? Sometimes, you know, it kills me. Somebody will be, I'll see somebody in open sin. You're in open sin. You're lying. You're cheating. Maybe you're living in adultery. You know, you're shacking up with somebody. You're stealing from your employer. I don't know. Just obvious things. Things that you don't have to pray about. You know, they're wrong. Okay? And I sit back, and the person's going through hell in their life. Everything's falling apart. Their world's falling apart. You know, car's not starting. They lost their job. You know, they fell off a roof, broke their back. But they're still living in their sin, still living in their sin. And I'm sitting here like, and I'm sitting back going, what has God got to do to get your attention? I mean, is he going to have to kill you? Is he going to have to take somebody that you love to get your attention? That's what scares me when I'm in sin and I'm like, and I hate lying. I hate it. It sucks. I hate lying. Okay. And I know the S word offends people. I apologize for that if it does. But I hate lying. So if I'm doing something that's wrong and somebody comes up to me and says, hey, are you doing that? 9 times out of 10, I'm going to tell you, yes, I'm doing that. And then I'll feel guilty and I'll repent and get it right. Now, if I lie to you, and I have done this, I've lied. Like, I lied to my mom one time. I did something. This was as a grown man. This was a couple years ago. She said, did you do that? And I was like, did you go there? And it was somewhere I wasn't supposed to go. As a Christian, I wasn't supposed to go there. And I was like, no, I didn't do that. I didn't, you know, I never went there, you know. And she known I was kind of away and not doing what I was supposed to be doing. And she knew I was hanging out with somebody that could get me in trouble. And 2 days later, I call her up on the phone. Yes, I did that. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry I lied to you. I shouldn't have lied to you. I felt really bad, blah, blah, blah. So I am horrible at lying. I can't take the guilt. Honestly, I cannot take the guilt. So, but other people, I see people, they've been lying. I've had people lie to me. Tell me to lie. Hey, you need to lie. Cover this up. I'm like, no. You know, I don't want to do that. And they just keep going. And it's like God's not even watching them. And I sit back and I go, God, are you even paying attention to that? I mean, why am I always feeling guilty about stuff I do? But these other people seem to just go on. They come to church, clock that, you know, hit that time clock at church. Brother, I love you. Brother, praise Jesus, blah, blah, blah. And they go out the door and they're cheating on their wife, cheating on their spouse, not loving their spouse, treating them like dirt, you know? You know, bad mouthing their kids. Ain't nothing gets under my skin like to hear a parent call their kids stupid or retard or something. And I'll hear somebody say something to their kid and I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, are you seriously doing that? You're supposed to be a Christian. You know, it just gets under my skin. I was like, you don't abuse children and you don't disobey God. You don't obey the word of God. You nurture children. You don't beat them down and verbally or any other way. But I sit back and I go, God, what are you doing? You know, we all do that, right? We'd be like, why ain't you handling that situation? Let me give you a little bit of advice. I'm 46 years old, and I'm just now figuring this out. I'm not saying we shouldn't call out sin. As a minister, as a preacher, to a Bible teacher, I have a responsibility to speak the truth, whether it hits me or somebody else. But the thing is, at the end of the day, I'm responsible for me. And you're responsible for you. And when you stand before Jesus Christ, you're going to get given account for your life. Not your wife's, not your kids, not your grandmother's, not your mother-in-law. You're going to give an account for your life. And that's what this is about. God says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, always pay attention to the nevertheless. Okay, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now what is the fruit of righteousness? The fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, self-control. I always forget about self-control, right? Self-control, that's anytime somebody talks about being full of Spirit, filled with the Spirit, number one thing, you can talk love all day. We can talk about how much we love people and how all that, that can be superficial, okay? A lot of those things can be superficial. One thing that can't be, and you can't fake this, is self-control. Self-control cannot be faked. Somebody filled with the Spirit, has the Spirit of righteousness, you can call them something, you can badmouth them, you can disrespect them. Okay? And they will not react. Reaction is always a sign of not having self-control and of not being filled with the Spirit. Because a person filled with the Spirit will, the Spirit will rein them in, right? Rein in the tongue. Rein in the actions. You will think before you speak. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's one of the number one fruits of the Spirit. Okay? You have self-control in your spirit. You have self-control in which will your spirit will cause you to have self-control. Number one, your tongue, right? Not shooting your mouth off, even if you have a right to shoot your mouth off, okay? Moses had a right to shoot his mouth off and he didn't. Jesus Christ had a right to shoot his mouth off, and he did, okay? Also, reining in self-control of your actions, your sexual needs as a husband, wife, whatever. You don't look at things you shouldn't look at, okay? Cheating on your spouse is in the head before it goes into action, all right? And we can talk about thinking. Jesus Christ, whatsoever a man thinketh, so is he, right? So if you think it, you've already done it. Doesn't mean it's not the same as the action. The action does go further than that. Okay, so don't go out and commit adultery because you lusted after a woman. Don't do that. That's very ignorant. Okay, rein it in. Okay, spend time with your wife. If you find yourself straying, if you find yourself really contemplating someone else, whether it's physical, whether you just like speaking it, but you feel like you want to spend more time with that other person, whether it's a man or woman, whatever the case is, redirect that. Spend more time with your spouse. If something like that, if you catch yourself thinking that way, make sure you need to focus. That's a red flag that you need to spend more time with your spouse and more spiritual time. Like I said, you should be doing devotions together, spiritual devotions every night with your spouse. Yeah, I'll argue with any pastor or teacher. You should be doing personal devotions without your kids with your spouse. You should be doing with your kids too, but you should be doing separate ones with your spouse. Okay? That spiritual connection is the only thing that separates us from animals. Our spirit. Okay? Self-control and how you eat. I think logically, we should be, the Bible teaches you should take care of yourself, okay? You shouldn't be a glutton, you shouldn't be a drunk, you should take care of yourself, you should exercise. When the Bible says that spiritual exercise is more helpful than physical exercise, it's not talking about not having physical exercise, it's talking about working out like being an athlete, like, you know, hitting the gym 6 days a week in the sense of trying to be a bodybuilder. That's what that's talking about. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be active. God takes that for granted because we all know Jesus walked up to 20 miles a day. Okay, he was constantly walking. He was a carpenter. He worked out. His life was working out. All the disciples worked. They walked for hours. Okay, so don't think that that because it doesn't tell you to exercise that you shouldn't be healthy. I think self-control covers pretty much everything, okay? And we're all guilty of not doing that, all right? So, be disciplined, all right? But it says the fruit of the spirit, right? So we're talking about he seemeth to be joyous but grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, here's the catch. The chastening, God whooping you. He can break your leg. He can give you polio. He can give you COVID-19. He can give you cancer to get your attention, to take your family away. Whatever he wants to do, he's going to do whatever it takes to get you back in line in fellowship with him so that you can be happy and you can have joy, okay? He doesn't want Christians to be miserable, okay? That's not his goal in life. He wants to have a fellowship with you, have a relationship, a personal relationship with you, and that personal relationship will make you happy. Don't listen to people that say that Christian life is not supposed to be about being happy. It is. You're supposed to be happy. But it's not supposed to be a superficial happiness based on a new shirt or something. It's supposed to be a joy because of your relationship with God the Father and the people that you live with, the people that are around you in the world, okay? Your relationship with the Father goes into the relationships around you, okay? So your relationship with the Father will be demonstrated in how you relate to other people, okay? So, but the chastening itself does not produce the fruits of the Spirit. The chastening only produces the fruits of the Spirit. Get to the last part of the verse. It says, unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, those who allow the chastening, they repent. The chastening does its work. It gets your attention. You start reading your Bible again. You start obeying, right? James 1:22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Reading the Bible and not doing it is just dumb. It's just ignorant. Okay, you might as well just throw your Bible in the garbage and just do whatever you want to do. Because reading the Bible without obeying it it's just goofy. I mean, it just you're not getting anything from it. It's actually more dangerous to read it because the more you know, the more God judges you on how much you know. Okay? And he holds you. So make sure that when you, here's the thing that I do when things start going wrong. Car breaks down. I have a conflict with my son or my kids or somebody in my family or something happens, okay? Hot water heater breaks or whatever. I immediately go to prayer. I immediately go to God and I'm like, okay, are you trying to get my attention about something? Am I not paying attention? Am I li doing something wrong? Am I living in sin? I always go there. I always go there. Make sure that you're living right. Okay? And don't just let every Tom, Dick, and Harry come up to you and go, you missed last Wednesday because you had the flu, and if you hadn't, your car wouldn't have broke down. Don't do that, okay? If someone says something and the Holy Spirit says amen to whatever they're saying, then pay attention, okay? But don't let guilt trips run your life, okay? The Christian life is not guilt trips, okay? Only the Holy Spirit can tell you if you're living in sin, in the sense if nobody knows what's going on, okay? Obviously, if you're smoking crack, I don't need the Holy Spirit to tell me that that's wrong, okay? I don't need the Holy Spirit to tell me I shouldn't be picking up girls on the side of the road. I don't need the Holy Spirit to tell me I don't need to be shacking up with somebody. I don't need the Holy Spirit to tell me not to steal from my employer. I don't need the Holy Spirit to tell me not to talk back to my mama. Okay? I don't know how old my mom is. It doesn't matter. It's wrong. So if I start smarting off to my mom, I know, hey, Holy Spirit's not in control there. Okay? So when the chastening comes, and it comes for all of us because we're not God, When the chastening comes, pay attention. Go to God in prayer. Be honest with Him. Okay? And if you feel you need to talk to your pastor or something about what's going on or about what you think, you know, if you really are clueless and you're just like, okay, maybe, you know, you want some guidance in that, ask. You know, ask. All right? But make sure you get it right with God, because your relationship with God the Father is the main thing. Okay? You can't witness. You can't be a soul winner. You can't, no matter how much you give to the church, that it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't honor God. You showing up for services doesn't honor God. You witnessing, you teaching kids in children's church, Sunday school, none of that honors God if you're living in sin. Okay? So get it right and get happy. All right? And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Good night.